Very good to be back in the house of God with y'all this morning. We do love coming here. We've been coming here for a long, long time. And we just love being in the presence of Hunt Springs Church. We all have on something pink today. For some of you that know, October is Breast Awareness Month. So I know that tomorrow is the last of October, so we decided that we would honor that. Sister Mary Ann here is a breast survivor. Yep. And has been for how many years?
13.
For 13 years. Praise the Lord. And we just want to worship, as I said, with y'all this morning. And I pray that God will give us something in a song that will touch your heart and uplift you.
I even got my pink socks on this morning just for that. How about that? It takes a real man to wear pink socks. Anyway, we do want you to worship the Lord with us this morning. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins, and I won the victory. Well, I heard about a mansion he has built for me over in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. And I heard the angels, they were singing of the old redemption story. I like this. And then some sweet day I'll sing of them the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. And he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
standing, just where I stand today. I've never known this kind of heartbreak. I've never felt this kind of pain. But you're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know you make a way somehow. You're still God. But Lord, I know your ways are perfect, and you've been watching all the while. For to you, you've proven faithful time and time again. And I'm learning, Lord, to trust you even when I don't understand. But you're still God.
Means a lot to Sister Marianne simply because last time she was here, I think she told y'all that she had lung cancer. And she's gone through her radiation. And now there's a possibility she may be facing some more
chemo.
But you know, we know that God is still there.
Yes.
And we are holding on to that promise that he said he would take care of us. And so when she sings that, I always just, it really touches my heart because I know that she has gone through a lot of battles with cancer. And sometimes it's hard to have faith and hold on because I think if we all admit it, there are times that all of our faith sometimes gets weak. And that's when our sisters and brothers in Christ are supposed to help lift us up, to help us, because sometimes we do need that. Okay.
Of the glory of Jehovah, Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way he makes faithful to every promise he ever made me. I love him, that's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached?
Think about what God's done for you, church.
Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention
can look back over our life, and there's a point in our life to where we can look back and say God's been good to us, that he has been faithful to every promise that he's ever made to us. You know, promises are, there's an old saying that said promises are made to be broken. And a lot of times we may promise our husband or wife, our co-workers, even our church brothers and sisters, we may promise them that we're going to do something, and we may end up breaking that promise, but God has never broken a promise.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible says that his word will not return void, so when he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Now, he don't do it in our time. We want him to do it in our time. We want him to do it right now. But God's going to do it when he's ready to get it done.
Amen.
We just have to have that patience and be ready. And that's a hard thing to do, is to have patience. But when we pray and ask God to do something in our life, we have to be ready that when he does it, that it's what we want. Because we come down to the altar and we pray and we ask God to give us blessings and to answer our prayers. And by the time we get back to our pew, we're thinking that God's already answered that prayer, but that's not always the case. Sometimes it may be weeks, months, years before he answers that prayer. But keep in mind that regardless of how long it takes, he will answer that prayer.
Amen.
But he's going to do it in his time. In his time. We're getting ready to come into a season of Thanksgiving. After tomorrow and everybody gets all the candy and the festivities out the way, we're going to start going into a season of Thanksgiving, which we should be thankful every day, all year round. Some of you should be thankful this morning because you're not supposed to be here this morning, but there's a God that says, I need you here today. Some of you we have never seen before. How many of you have never seen Hope Revealed before, have never heard us before? Well, we done sung four songs. Where y'all been? Y'all must have been sleeping during them songs there. But it is. It's good to be here. Let me do a quick introduction of who we are. We're going to try to get out of here in just a little bit and let Brother come up and preach the word to us. But down here on the very end, you've heard Kathy mention about Miss Mary Ann. She's having trouble this morning with her ankle. So if you see her, you see she's sitting down singing. She normally don't do that, but for this time, I told her to bring a stool, sit down. She was able. She's a trooper. She fights through a lot of stuff to get up here, and stuff that I don't even see, but stuff that she tells us as me and Kathy, well, she tells us what she goes through. And, you know, folks, we sometimes, and even pastors, we make this look easy, but it's not easy all the time. We make it look that way, but it's not. Because we have our own problems that we have to take care of. But this morning she's here. This morning she could have stayed home and told me and Kathy to come do it by herself, but she decided to come. I said, bring a stool. You can sit on the stool and sing. But she put the devil on the run this morning. She gave him a black eye for showing up this morning. So, but I want to say, y'all please may welcome Miss Mary Ann Blackwell down on the end down there. This little fireball sitting in the middle between us. Mona said amen on that one. This is Miss Kathy Evans. Y'all please make Miss Kathy Evans welcome. And I want to tell you, y'all pray for your pastor's wife. I say that every time we come. But your pastor's wife really needs prayer. Really needs prayer. Brother Wes ain't going to say nothing on that one. He's going to leave that one alone. But anyway, I was back there in the back, and there was a lady that would come in. She must have been here the last time that we were here, but she come in, and she said, good morning, Mr. Tiny. I said, your pastor's wife had, see what she started. We did a cowboy church a few years ago, when she nicknamed me Tiny. So every time we come up this way, everybody calls me Tiny. And when we go to different places and sing, when Kathy usually does the introductions, she always calls me Tiny. So y'all can blame Mona for that one. But my name is Ron Stubbs, and it's good to be with you this morning. And we thank y'all for being here. I got a chance to meet somebody very quickly, so I just want to say this. I got a chance to meet somebody this morning who is 3 months old. I was over there, and she had the carrier, and I said, I got to go see that baby because I got a brand-new grandbaby of my own. I think she was 9 months this past week, 9 months old, and she's been sick lately. So y'all pray for her. She had an ear infection and all that other stuff that's going on, but she seems to be doing better. But I was looking over there, and I looked at that grandbaby, old baby, and she was sitting there with that pink bow in her head, and she was asleep. And I was talking to the mom a little bit. Her name is Bristol. Beautiful name. Beautiful baby, and you look at, I guess that's Grandpa holding her, and she's sitting there in the safe arms of Grandpa, just how a lot of times we do when we come into the safe arms of Jesus, because we know that she's very protective right now because she's got people around her that's protecting her, just as God has angels around us protecting us. But I look at that three-month-old child, and I said, can't nobody create that but God. Amen. The world may want you to think different, but there ain't but one person that can do that, and that's God himself. So this is a song that we say we sing quite a bit, but I don't think we sang it the last time we was here, but it's just a simple song. Some of the simple songs can have the biggest message, but it's just a song that says God's been good. And you can look back over your life and where you've been, where you are today, and say that God's been good to you. Listen to the words of it. Let it bless you this morning. Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers, to the mercies I have known. No, it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say,
God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I would change them if I could. Because through it all, church, God's been good. Even through the bad times, He's still good to us. Listen, times we play and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears as He put His loving arms around me. When I face my greatest fears, you see I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. For God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. Cause through it all, God's been good. You know what, folks? God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His word is my beginning, and His love will be my end. I can spend forever trying to tell you everything He is. But the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. Cause through it all. Know about you folks, but my God's been good. Lord, thank you for your many blessings. Amen and amen. 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 One of the blessings that He gave us a home that we'll see one day, and we're going to it one day. Y'all listen to the words and let it bless you this morning.
Listen. Now so many hope, it's a world so
so dear, but I am just a stranger here, just passing through on a temporary stay. But I'm looking forward to the time when all of heaven, it will be mine. I'll watch and pray, 'cause it could be just any day. For my home is just around the bend. I've been about it.
We're going to do just one more song and get out your way. We just want to say thank you for having us this morning. Sing it, Kathy.
News came to Jesus, please come fast. Lazarus is sick, without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come. They wondered why. Death watch was over. He was buried 4 days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here. The Lord's on his way. Oh, Martha ran to him, and then she cried. Lord, if you'd been here, you could have healed him. He'd still be alive. Oh, but you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't.
face you this morning?
A battle of fear. You've prayed to the Lord, I need you now, but he has not fear. Friend, don't be discouraged, oh no, for he's still the same. He'll soon be here. He'll roll back that stone. He cut a road to the land. When he's 4 days late,
4 days late,
and all hope is lost, Lord,
we don't understand why you waited so long. When he's 4 days late, he's still on time.
But my God is great.
When he's 4 days late,
he's still on time.
Another big hand. And y'all pray for Miss Mary Ann here and her ankle.
Have any of you ever heard of a muskrat? Well, this is because of a muskrat. I fell in a step in the muskrat hole.
Yes, ma'am.
It's similar to a rock rat. I don't know what that is.
Thank y'all so much, and all those blessings. We just thank y'all for that in the music. And, you know, you was talking about prayer, and the Bible tells us that when we ask God for something, he answers our prayers right then. But as Brother Ron said, you know, sometimes we don't see those answers right away. But I'd been praying to the Lord and asking the Lord to help us here at Hunt Springs and send me some help for physical things and spiritual. Now, we got a lot of people that do things behind the scenes here that you don't realize. You know, you don't realize who is mowing, who is spraying, who is cleaning out the trash, who's printing the bulletins. And I thank everybody for that. But I asked the Lord to help us shape the spiritual health of this church. And my God sent me two pastors. And I just want to thank both of them for their encouraging words and for them helping. And Pastor James, I just thank you so much. And Miss Diane and you and Miss Mary Lois. And Brother Roger today is going to bring us the message. So I want y'all to give him a big welcome.
Yeah, we got off to a real good start.
It's okay.
Okay. Things like that happen, but in a Baptist church, you dust it off and you keep right on going, amen? It's been a little while, but I sure am happy to be back here, and it's an honor to be here with Pastor West. This is his podium, and he's allowed me to be at his podium, and that's an honor, okay? We're going to be looking at casting a shadow, Acts chapter 5, 12 through 16. Let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to be examples to other people of the world. We want to be able to have people see us and see Jesus at the same time. We want to draw closer to you in all that we do and say. We know that others may be influenced by us, and we want that to be a positive Christian influence. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to empower our lives, and we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. He is here, I promise you. Please put a hedge of protection around us and be with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts 5, 12 through 16. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that all at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. The apostles are a strange group of people. At times we often think about them, especially at their first beginnings, of being what they call the disciples. They just didn't have it, really. You know? This group, the same amount of people that were going to be huddled all up in an upper room somewhere, scared to death, whispering so they didn't make any noise in case people would come and get them because Jesus had been crucified. Peter always seemed to be the leader. And the reason about that is, if you look, there's listings of the disciples. There's Matthew and Luke, but John's not. Mark, he's there too. There's three of those apostles, but not John. But there's one in Acts. And so the listing there is four listings. And on the top of every single one, Peter is number one. But I tell you what, Peter sometimes just didn't do a good job. I mean, you know, it was just amazing about that. But anyway, guess who's on the very bottom all four times? Judas, you know. Peter, I don't know, he just didn't seem to get things right. And I myself think about myself as being Peter. You want to do something right so bad, but it just goes to pieces, you know. And that's Peter. And I've heard people to say that they're Peter. No, I'm Peter because I do everything wrong, it seems like, sometimes. But what was the difference in him and what we just got through reading? It was saying even just a shadow of Peter touching them and they would jump up and be healed. Isn't that something? What was the difference? The difference was the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. When that Holy Spirit came in to those disciples, they were not the same disciples that they were at the beginning. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The shadow of Peter healed people. And it is amazing and it is a wonderful. The mighty men of God, these little apostles. Perhaps these are some of the greater things that Jesus said that the disciples would do. The apostles had sign gifts, beloved. Not gifts of the Spirit, sign gifts. It's entirely something different. It's something that God gives for them to use for a specific amount of time, and then that's it. But when it is talking about the spiritual gifts of the Spirit, then that may go on forever. That was the case here. Not one in the church since then has had those gifts. That was a time period for the beginning of the church. May I compare this to modern-day faith healers? Modern faith healers. They're still here. They're still around. Oh, Benny Hinn. I did a Google on Benny Hinn. One of them said he died. He must have come back because he's going to be on the TV Tuesday night. But anyway, I don't know. It just seems to me that there's just something about that. What happened then was used and stopped. It didn't come all the way up to where we are now. It did not happen that way. Let me show you some things about it. Let's go back to Acts 5:16. We have it on the screen. We're going to go back to that. Sometimes you have to read something twice. This may come as a shock to you, but sometimes I've read things three times just to get it right, you know. And I think when I've read the Bible from beginning to end, and there's some times that I hear a verse, I've never heard it before. I think they put it in at night at my house. I'm not sure, you know. All right, look at this, 5:16. Therefore came also a multitude, crowds, your Bible might say, out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem. That's where it was, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Now listen to this. And they were healed, every one. All of them were healed, your Bible may say. All of them. Now, do these faith healers cure everybody? Do they go into the hospitals and just clean them all out? No, they don't. Don't even go to the little children's section and do them all. Do they? They don't do that. And I want to share something else with you, too, on that. If you ever do hear or get around or whatever, a faith healer, I want you to be careful because I want you to look at one thing. I want you to look and see if they have a catcher. That's all. Just look for a catcher. Because I don't quite understand that. Usually these catchers, they're big football players or weightlifters or something like that, you know. And they're there and they to catch the people and lay them down right easy. Now, I don't know, but it just seems like to me that if someone's got stage 4 liver cancer and you're up there going to heal them, what do you need a catcher for? If they drop and fall over and hit the head or something or other, just say whoosh, whoosh to them and they'll be back again. You know, if you're going to be a healer, heal them. Heal them when they fall. Pick them up. They don't have to have catchers, okay? The catchers, rather. Just remember that, if you will. Does God heal people today? Yes, absolutely. Of course he does. He heals people all over the world, you know. And it may be, I don't know, it's up to him. He makes that decision. Sometimes there's something he wants that person to do, and they need to stay a little bit longer, amen? And sometimes it's just the way it is, you know. But it's up to God. Up to God. He's going to do it whatever way he wants to do. Be careful of those faith healers because all they want is money. They're scammers and everything else. I want to give you a sample of what I'm talking about with these crooks, if you will. One time there was an older gentleman, got in his pickup truck, and he was going just to pick up a few things at the store. He went down to the crossroad, and there was a BMW parked right at the stop sign. So he pulled in beside of it, parked. And he was sitting there just a moment. And the man in the car got up and he walked around and he went over there and he looked down at the bumper and he looked all around there and he come back and he knocked on the window of the truck and he said, "Sir, you hit my BMW. That's a high-priced car. It's going to cost you $5,000. This is not a cheap car." And the man looked at him and said, I don't have that much money. I've got $27. He said, I'll take a check. Write me a check. He said, I don't have a check. My son took it away from me because I was always losing it. So he said, call your son. So he called his son and he said, son, listen, now, this man says I've hit him. He wants $5,000. And I told him that you trained dolphins and you had money. But anyway, we want you to come, maybe do something to help. He said, whoa, Daddy, wait, I'll be right there. So what happened, he got there real quick, and he went to the man, and he told the man, he said, I want to know something. He said, why in the world are you saying that? He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to drag him out of that truck and beat him. And when I get through, I'm going to drag you out and beat you. And he said, then I'm going to get the money out of your pocket and the money out of the glove box that you told me your son had. So anyway, So what happened was, he told him, just to wait. And he told him, he said, son, what are you going to do? And he said, Daddy, I told you 1,000 times about these things, and I'm telling you, you tell people that I train dolphins. He said, I don't train dolphins. I train Navy SEALs. Yeah, he got it out, didn't he? I tell you what, being 73 and memory going away can be tough. And I'm sorry about that. I want to show you something new about this. It's a little 13-second thing I want to show you that I ran across. I thought it was so sweet and so cute that I wanted to share it with you. And I got Mike, and he's got it all fixed up. It's just going to be real short, but we're talking about casting a shadow. Brother Mike? It had sound on it, too, and you could hear her squealing. Isn't that just precious, that little girl? I'm telling you. Because when you think about it, if there was a huge spotlight up there and I was standing here looking down, there would be no shadows there. It would just be pure light, right? But if I turn around and that light is behind me, then when I look down, there's a big old ugly man standing there moving his arms. You know, it's a shadow that comes after that. And when you think about it, well, what about the Lord? Why is he allowed? He's not done anything. He hasn't went anywhere at all. You don't want to turn around. Turn back towards the light, and the light, beloved, is Jesus. Turn back towards the light, and there won't be any of that shadow like that little girl was running away from, you know. I think that's the case. Light is necessary for a shadow. Many of us may have heard about old Hank Williams. I saw the light. You ever heard that before? Yeah. I'm going to read it. I'm not going to sing it because I don't want two or three of y'all to walk out on me. So I'll just read it, okay? I wandered so aimless, my heart filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. We've heard those about him and what he had said. But you know what? His life did not show that. Because of drugs and alcohol, he had a terrible time. But his music was pretty, but his life wasn't. As a matter of fact, what happened to him wasn't his last words, but it was getting close to it. He made a statement that said, "There is no light." The apostle saw the light, and it was the coming Prince of Peace. The length of the shadow depends upon the place of the light source. Let me say that again. The length of the shadow depends upon the place of the light source. Have you seen? My memory is not the great, but I want you to get this, please. 13, 14 years ago, I came to this church to fill in for the pastor. I don't know who he even was at that time period, but he was gone, and Eric Davidson from the association sent me to come in and preach for him, and I did. But when I got here and I looked up, I saw that cross right there. That cross is amazing to me. It is absolutely beautiful. It's perfect. I make crosses. I use scrap folk art, use hinges and screws and nails and whatever to make these crosses. But that particular cross right there is a 1-to-3 ratio. It's a 1-to-3. Now, Mike Graham, the sound man, is up here today. His daddy made that cross and brought it here, the beginning. What I like about it is if you look at the top part, you see that part up there. Now, on the side over here, it's the same length. They're the same, okay? And when you get the other side and you add the top, that side, and put it together, which is the top and the bottom. Say that's 3 foot, 3 foot, 3 foot. That's 9. Top to bottom is 9. And that's where it gets into the 1-to-3. The thickness of the wood is, the width is perfect. Everything about that cross is perfect. The prettiest I've ever seen. There's something else that goes with this, okay? I want you to look. I saw also what looked to me like an angel. If you look up there, could you see where the wings go up and they come around like that? Looks like an angel's wings, doesn't it? The problem was I had it wrong. It's not an angel wing. You know what that is? That's a heart, a heart. Can you see where the top part of the heart comes up and comes around and then it tapers down? The side panels over here look like they're darker than the others. They're not darker, they're the same ones. And then it gets brighter as it gets over towards the center. Do you see the heart? New York has got a little sticker they put on there. It says I, and there's a pretty little heart, usually red. And it says, NY, I love New York. What this says is, I love Jesus. He died on the cross so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. Do y'all see the heart here? It's always been there. Now, the thing about that is, let me share a little bit more with you. If you look on the shaft coming all the way down, there is a shadow on each side. Look closely and you see up underneath, there's a shadow there. Now, those spotlight is shining that way. That spotlight is shining that way. If that light is shining that way, how in the world is it going to be one there? A shadow. It's impossible. I pastored 3 churches. 2 of them, Sand Hills. I saw a lot of churches there, the ones that I served in, and then there was others where we would go to see. And then in this association I came, Sandy Creek, and I saw the church that I was pastoring. No church. I have not seen any church in 2 associations of all the churches that I've seen that had anything as beautiful and lovely as that is. There's nothing nowhere else. This is a sacred, wonderful, beautiful sanctuary. And that is so pretty. I can't even put it into words. Don't you think it's beautiful? It's absolutely beautiful. It's Hunt Springs Baptist Church, and that's us. There's not another one like it. Can I get an amen? Amen. I wanted to share that with you. Make sure that I get that particular out. It's beautiful. I want to share 3 simple points. To have a shadow, you must have light. A shadow is the image of the real thing, and the shadow cast by Peter was the shadow of hope. I want you to see that part. And I want to apologize to each and every one of y'all today. This will be the last time that I preach. I'll still stay here. I'll love the church. I'll do all that. My memory is just not working. It's fumbling around, and I am so sorry. At least I was able maybe to get out something about this beautiful, beautiful cross and what we see. So keep in mind what you're doing, all right? And I'm sorry. Let me close by saying one thing about, and I'm going to try to get it out, okay? That'll be the fun thing, you know. I don't wear pink socks, but anyway. St. Francis of Assisi said this, or they say he did. They don't know. They kind of argue back and forth. But this is what he said. Please let me have it. In all things you do, be a witness for the gospel. If all else fails, use words. Casting a shadow. I'll say this also. I'm not going to ask you for raising your hand, but what I want to do is to ask you this. Somebody somewhere in your life, grandma, grandpa, mama, daddy, neighbor, friend, whatever, at some point in time, a shadow of them fell over you. They may not have even known that it happened, just like Peter. Peter didn't know what these people were doing. He wasn't watching. That shadow fell on them, and they jumped up, healed. So what happens here is somebody probably led you to the Lord by the way that they act. Grandpa, Grandma, I guarantee if I asked for a raising of the hands, I think they would be quite a bit raised, because that's the case. What else I want you to know and understand, is anybody seeing your shadow? Is it falling on someone? And they are seeing Jesus in you. That's the question. Make sure that they do. And make sure you understand that Jesus is the light. If you're in darkness, it's not your fault. Get out of the darkness and get back to the light with Jesus and that Holy Spirit that did all of that to the disciples. The light is Jesus. Are you casting a shadow today? Everything's going to be all right, beloved. Stay here. Everything's going to be fine. Sometimes when I'm 73, and at one point I got real bad, I was on some bad medicine. I got off of it. It gave me back some memory because of the meds. Be careful with meds. Lost my taste. Lost my smell. But anyway, thank you. I love you. With all my heart, I love this church. I'm a member of this church. I love this church. No other church like it. All right? Thank you. God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, I love you. And I know you love me. And you love all of us here. I thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I'll turn it back over to Pastor West.
Amen.
I ain't in no worries. Y'all give Pastor Roger another hand. And brother, I'll be first to tell you that God's not done with you yet. Because as long as you keep following Jesus, you'll be casting a shadow. And he's a big encouragement to me. He calls me all the time. And I just want to close with this before Hope Reveal comes back. Before Peter's shadow was cast on all them sick people, he was preaching and teaching, him and John, and the priest and all the educated in Jerusalem wanted to lock them up. And it says in chapter 4, verse 13, that now they observe the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed, and they began to recognize that they had been with Jesus. Don't always matter what we say or how good we get it out. But if you're walking with Jesus, as Brother Roger said, you'll cast a shadow that'll touch somebody's life. And the shadow you cast this week might be the only gospel anybody ever hears or sees. Your shadow might determine whether somebody spends eternity in heaven or in hell. Always be willing to tell them, it is my Jesus that does it all, and I'm just along for the ride. Let us pray. Lord, as we pray and as Hope Reveal comes to close us out in song, Lord, I just thank you for Brother Roger, and I thank you for Pastor James, and Lord, I just thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, you've just been, over the last year and a half, fitting and mending and putting us together. And I know you got a great work planned for Hunt Springs to be able to impact our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray you continue to help us help one another to complete the task that you have for us. Your word tells us that you put us together because of our strengths and our weaknesses, and that, Lord, we are to look to one another, and where we're strong, help their weakness, and where they're weak, they can help us, Lord. Help us understand that we all need help. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' holy and precious name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
When I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love on my own, yet every time I come before His throne,
I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees a nail-scarred hand. I stand redeemed.
Well, even at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. A broken life was all I had to offer. Yet it was a priceless gift to Him. The bitter marks of sin will never fade away, but I can come before Him unashamed.
I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hand
that bought my liberty.
I stand redeemed.
I stand redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb. The great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hand
that bore my liberty.
I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed.
Thank y'all so much for being here, and Pastor Roger, thank you so much for the message, and thank y'all for being here today.
There's something that the Lord laid on my heart to do, and if I don't do it, I've got to go all the way back to where we came from in disobedience, and I don't want to do that. I don't want that on my spirit, and I know it's getting kind of late to where you normally would get out, but I just want to feel like God has laid something on my heart to do. And it's for the pastor sitting over there. If you would come up, sir. Let me tell you, there's a thing, a person, a spirit in the Bible that's called the devil. It's called Satan, called Lucifer, Slewfoot, however you want to name him. He's out there. And he's up against people like this.
every day. You heard him mention in his sermon a lot of times about his memory. And his age may have something to do with it. But folks, I'm 50 years old and I forget a lot of stuff. Just ask my wife. But I know how it is to preach a sermon, and I know how it is to sing a song and forget the words. And just as soon as that service is over, there's a devil that's sitting on your shoulder telling you they didn't get nothing out of that. They didn't listen to that little joke that you said that you forgot half of it. And I'm just being serious with you. I'm just, my heart to yours. The devil would get on his shoulder and he would whisper. Y'all seen the little cartoon where you got the devil on one side and the angel on the other? That's just how the devil works. And he's all about discouraging, especially God's people. He's all about a discouraging ministers of the gospel. That when they preach a sermon like he just preached, he's getting in his mind that they didn't get nothing out of that. Why did you even get up there and say those things? Those people didn't listen to you. But I went and I was out there singing, and I seen that lady, and I don't know her, never met her, never seen her to the day, but I've seen that lady there come over to him. And she took her hand and she patted him on the leg, and I'm assuming she said, "It's going to be okay. That's your daughter." Ma'am, if you would come up with him, please. I'm just going to be quick about this, but the Lord just laid this on my heart. So here's what I want us to do as a church. And I hope I'm not out of line doing this, and I don't think I am because I'm following the Lord. And if I'm out of line, then that's just between you and God. But I just want to do this for him. I've never met him until tonight. Pastor Wes, you know us. Mona, you know us. But I want us to pray for this man. I want us to, if you would, and this is up to you, if you would come up, and I want you to stand behind this man, and I want you to lift him up in your prayers. Brother James, is that the name of it, sir? Mm-hmm. If you would, if you'll come up for a minute, right here, please, sir. Stand right here for me, sir. This is what the church body needs, is everybody praying for everybody, but we need to lift up one another. And I want us to pray for this man. Brother James, if you would just lead us in prayer, please, if you don't mind, sir, for him.
Yes, sir.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We pray you for Brother Roger, his ministry, his testimony, and his life that he is before us. We thank you for that, and we praise you for that message. It rings in our minds about the shadow that we're casting upon other people. Lord, what are we doing before other people? How are we influencing other people, and what do they see in us?
Amen. Amen.
We need to stand up for Jesus, and we need to be what you want us to be. And so we pray for Brother Roger, Lord. Help us all, Lord, to band together, to work together, Lord, to cast that shadow, to lift up the Lord Jesus, because you can't have a shadow if you don't have light. We learned that today. And so we pray now, Lord, that you'll bless us. You'll draw us close together. Lord, this is a great and wonderful church, and we praise you for it. It stands for the truth. We have a pastor that preaches the word, and we have a church that believes in the truth and wants the word and wants to grow. So, Lord, let us be a beacon and a light in this community so people can see it and say, we need to go there and hear that message. We need to know about Jesus because, Lord, we feel like time is short. Time is near, and, Lord, we want to all go together. Thank you for this time. Bless now, we pray, this church family. Bless Brother Roger. Bless the pastor and his wife. Let us be on fire. Set us on fire. And Lord, let the community know it. Let the world know it. Let the town know it. We're on fire for Jesus. Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you, brother.
Thank y'all so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.